Would you stand, please? It's fine. Amen. Amen. For our responsive reading today, Emily, can you help me out? I left a clicker on the stand. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thought it'd be apropos. Would you read it with me, please? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you. Isn't that great? You know, even if the stock market crashes, you still have the inheritance. You're rich. And Christ, the resurrection of Christ, secures all of that for you. As long as you have trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
The other thing that we're going to look at today is the resurrection is key because when we trust Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if we yield to him under the authority of the word, then we have resurrection power. We have resurrection power. I mean, it's amazing. And so, as we sing to the Lord, sing of the resurrection power.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. See, the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. If you would join me in prayer, I just want to point out a couple of things. The flowers that you see around have been donated to us very generously. Aren't they beautiful? So let's just applaud the people who donated that. Would you just show them? Amen. Amen. And also, I believe we have a miracle with us today. Carl is back. Carl, we've been praying for Carl. He's had some health issues, and can you tell me what the doctor told you? Amen.
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 Right
Amen.
On, Carl. Right on, God.
And we need to pray for my sister-in-law, Gloria. She was diagnosed Friday with shingles, and she's in a lot of pain. So I've never had them. Some of you have. So we need to pray for her also. And I thank God for the guests that are here today. It's good to see you all. It's good to see you. We praise God for you. Thank you for coming out and taking time to worship with us. I believe we have the greatest commission in the world, and that is to share the love of Christ and the good news that he died in my place, in your place, so we can know forgiveness and resurrection power. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we rejoice in the miracles that you do. Thank you for Carl being here, Father. We're asking for another miracle for Gloria. She battles the shingles and is in pain. We also would lift up others, Father, who are battling diseases or spiritual warfare. We just ask, Father, that you meet them where they are and give them peace and give them comfort and strength. Thank you for all the miracles. And Father, thank you for the miracle of the empty grave. Our Jesus, Father, is alive. And Father, the resurrection was your stamp of approval on his sacrifice for us. And Father, in raising from the tomb, he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered Satan. And so, Father, we rejoice. Holy Spirit, moving in among us, help us to hear what you have for us today. We pray in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I lift your name on high. If you know the sign gestures to this, some of you remember VBS, right? If you do the sign gestures if you know.
Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. came to save us. You came from
you know it.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save.
Good job. Good job. Remember what happened Friday. They tried to crucify our Savior. They did it on trumped up charges. Three charges that were totally false. Caiaphas knew it. Herod knew it. And so did Pilate. And yet they crucified him. But it was only Friday. But we can't forget the cross, because at the cross, the great exchange happened. The exchange of our sin. So Jesus paid the penalty in full, once for all, for my sin, for your sin. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, he grants us his righteousness. That's a great transaction. Better than any bank transaction you'll ever have. That's the transaction of the universe. And so, he is a worthy lamb. Let us never forget the cross, and let us never forget the resurrection.
Thank you for the cross.
All my sin and shame.
Boy, great singing. You may be seated. You're hired, by the way. Excuse me for a second while I get organized here. Parking lot, can you hear me? Okay. Just want to make sure. You know, one of the things that the life of Jesus shows us, and even in his death and resurrection, of how he valued women. He realized that the women were the first, were the last to leave the cross, while the apostles abandoned Jesus, and they were the first to the tomb. And, you know, in all my years of ministry, I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible puts down women and, you know, the gospel puts down. No, it doesn't. Jesus lifts women up. Because women were so precious to him in the ministry that he gave them the first visual of the resurrected Christ. And I think that's significant. I really do think that's significant. In the early church, as you well know, there were some key women who came to faith and really started to start churches in their houses and all. One of those is Lydia. Lydia was the first convert in Europe, and she was a very, very influential lady and was able to share the gospel. And so we're going to meet two more women this morning. And as I worked on this message and prayed through it through the week, forgive my title, it's a little bit out of frustration. Okay, I'm going to admit that to you. But the title of the message is, It's Easter, So What? And look, I've been a Christ follower for many years. Some of you have been too. And even for a Christ follower, Easter can become routine. And it can lose its impact, I think, over the years. And really, we need to guard against that, just like we need to guard against losing the wonder of the cross. Because, you know, the cross is not just some pretty decoration we wear or put on the wall. The cross has great meaning for us, but it was a horrible symbol, wasn't it? It's a horrible symbol. And yet, Easter is the day we celebrate the empty tomb. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. Every Sunday is the celebration of the resurrection. There was a church, I think, out in New Egypt. I passed by. Marilyn and I were taking a ride one day. And the church, this was a couple of weeks after Easter, put up a sign saying, pretend it's Easter, come to church Sunday. I like that. If we had a sign, I'd do that. I really like that. But in the evangelical church, churches like ours, we need to recover the meaning and the significance of the resurrection. We also have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the body of Christ, his body, and to go out to make disciples. Remember the Great Commission? Go into your world and make disciples, teaching them all I have taught you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Why is this commission so important? Because there's a lot of hurting people in this world. Especially now, there's a lot of hurting people. People around us who have absolutely no peace and no hope. Have you ever been there? I have. No peace and no hope. You see, sin is rebellion against God. And when it isn't dealt with in our lives, it will always result in unrest, insecurity, doubt, and disappointment. So as we come and we look at the empty tomb today and reflect back on the cross and that Good Friday, realize that Jesus took on the very thing he hated, sin. He detested sin. The Bible says sin is a stench in God's nostrils. He took every sin, mine, yours. So he took the sin of greed, gluttony, the sin of covetousness, the sin of adultery, this, whatever sin you can name, he took it all on him in our place. I mean, that's amazing to me. The life and death and resurrection of our Lord is the only way that we realize true peace and hope. Now, you know, what amazes me, and look, we're all guilty of this sometimes, when we battle some sins, right? You may have sins in your life that die hard. Have you ever wrestled with those? All right. The old theologians, Puritan theologians, would say they're besetting sins, okay? And, you know, we wrestle with them, but listen, sometimes we get frustrated that we try to hide them, just like Adam did in the garden. He and Eve hid behind the bush, remember, from God? And we try to hide our sin from God. And what I want to say this morning is why. He knows it already. Why not confess it? Bring it before him. Be honest with him. Tell him that you know that you know this particular sin hurt him. It hurts us and it hurts other people. Lord, help me turn away from that and turn to you. Isn't that freeing? It's freeing. That's when we truly find rest and security, and doubt goes away, and disappointment goes away. Because of the victory, the resurrection, which is God's stamp of approval on the power of the resurrection, Jesus conquered the power of sin. We don't have to be slaves to the power of sin anymore. It doesn't mean we won't sin. It just means we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. He also conquered Satan, because on Good Friday, everybody thought Satan won. He didn't win. And he also conquered the grave. Do you realize, I can't imagine what Friday night Saturday was in the upper room where the disciples were hiding. They were afraid, including the women. They were afraid. Some of their thoughts is their master's gone. What are they going to do now? They really didn't quite get it yet that the grave wasn't going to be the end. They didn't quite get it. And I think many of us today don't even quite get it, that the grave isn't the end for either a believer or unbeliever. But there's only two possible destinations after the grave. And one is heaven, and the other one is hell, eternal separation from God. That's what Jesus endured on the cross for us. And so they were confused. They were disappointed. They didn't know what to do. But God bless the women. The women knew that they had to finish the work of anointing the body. And it took great courage to leave that room and go to that tomb. Why? They risked their own lives at that point. And so I want to walk through this with you. We meet two Marys who had the courage and the heart on that Sunday morning to finish the burial rites of Jesus' body. So they went to the tomb. Now listen, they wanted to finish it because he loved them and they loved him. This was not something that's where they bowed down to the Jewish law and said, we have to do this. No, this was an act of love. This was an act of love that Jesus first showed them. One was Mary Magdalene, who had a past. Does anybody here not have a past? And the other Mary, a sinner just like we are, goes to the tomb. What do you think they were expecting? They were expecting, well, first they had to face the stone, right? Look what happened. This is from Matthew 28, starting at verse, no, I'm sorry. This is actually Matthew 27, starting at verse, no, this is Matthew 27, yeah, starting at verse 28. No, verse 28, what am I saying? As, you know, I'm still living this morning. Thank you for correcting me. Nonetheless, it's God's word, right? After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, we're not talking about a stone this big. We're talking about one probably as high as the ceiling in a circular in a circle, probably weighed a couple of thousand pounds. It took a lot of men to roll that into place. So here are the two women. They're in the grief process. They're mourning the master that they loved. And they didn't know what to expect, but they knew that stone was going to be there. So these people who have been with Jesus for a little over 3 years, they experienced his leadership, his discipleship, and most of all, his love. They were afraid of the unknown since Jesus, their Lord, was gone. Have you ever faced life where you were facing an obstacle that you thought was too big for you to handle? I'm sure that's the way these women felt. At this point, they were hopeless. They were in despair. You can relate, right? But you know, when we give our lives to Christ, when we come to know him, when we've been born again by the Spirit of God, his promise is he'll never leave us or forsake us. And we need, our part of this, is to follow him by faith, right? In our Western culture, we rather walk by sight in the sense that we want everything laid out the way we want it, right? Lord, you relax. I'm going to write the script for today. Do any of you have that problem? All right? Lord, you relax. I'm going to write the script for today. You know, and these women were learning a valuable lesson today that, listen, they don't know the tomb's empty yet. But God removed the first obstacle so they could see into the tomb and see the Lord was risen. Now, I want to just give you a point of theology here. That rock didn't need to be moved for Jesus to be resurrected. In fact, he rose from the grave before that was moved in the earthquake. Okay? So, how gracious God is. He took care of the obstacle. How many of you faced obstacles and God took care of it? Okay? An earthquake rolled back the stone and they sat on it. Let me give you some of the dynamics here. The guards at this point knew they were in trouble, because the seal of Rome was broken. Not only was the seal of Rome broken, but the body wasn't there. So the guards really didn't know what happened at this point. Let's follow this through. There was an angel sitting on that stone. It says his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Oh, it's amazing. Not only did God move the stone, the obstacle, but he sent one of his messengers. And the guards who were guarding this to make sure nobody would steal Jesus' body and claim that the disciples showed it, which they ultimately did, by the way, they were bribed to do that. They were just stunned at what happened. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Isn't that great? Don't be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. The women, you know, picture yourself. You're going in confused. You're going in with kind of a despair. You're going in expecting to find the body. In fact, in one of the other gospels, one of the women says, "Where did you take my Jesus?" Right? "Where did you take my Jesus?" And the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Verse 6, what a great verse. "He is not here. He is risen just as he said." Well, I have to pause there for a minute, because God is the only one who keeps his promises perfectly. Even on our best days, we don't do it perfectly. God, through the Spirit and Christ, kept his promise. He is risen, just as he said. You realize that if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, our faith would be in vain. That's what Paul says. And then the angel says something incredible. "Come and see the place where he lay." Come and see. Come and see for yourselves. Now, we know from some of the other accounts of the Gospels that the grave clothes were all in place, just exactly in the form of a body, but there was no body there, and the headpiece was neatly folded up where the head would be. Why is that important? It's important to show that this wasn't the work of grave robbers. Because a grave robber wouldn't have taken the time to leave the clothes there, fold it up, because they had to get out of there before the guards got them, right? No, this was the miracle of the resurrection. The miracle of the resurrection. Here's where you start to find doubt, disappointment, unrest starting to turn to faith, rest, and joy. Only God can do that. A bottle of liquor can't do it, even though we think it can. Drugs can't do it, even though we think it can. Immorality can't do it, even though we think it can. Only Christ can do this. Despair, fear, and hopelessness was starting to turn into joy that couldn't be contained. I want you to notice here another rendition of the Great Commission, if you will. What was the instruction of the angels? "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. I'm going to date myself here, okay? I'm old. But when I was in grammar school, they call it grade school now. When I was in grammar school, we had show and tell day. Did you ever have that? Right? Show and tell day, where you brought something in, you know. I remember bringing a toy dump truck into one of my classes. I was so proud of that thing, to show and tell. Listen, the Great Commission is a show and tell. It is a show and tell. Every one of you here who knows Jesus Christ by faith has met Jesus at some point in your life. You have a story. That's your unique story. And God doesn't want us to keep that story in here. He wants us to go and tell the one who saved us from ourselves, the one who saved us from sin. It's your story. Nobody can say, "That's not true." Well, baloney. You were there, right? I have an interview in my files at home of, I believe it was a Southern Baptist church. And there was a man who wanted to join the church. And we do the same thing here. We'll ask the man to give a testimony of how he came to know the Lord and that type of thing. And it was one, not everybody's conversion is the same. Some are very gradual. Some are very sudden. But it doesn't matter as long as you come to know Jesus Christ. But here's what they were hung up on. They said to the man, I want you to tell me the date and time you accepted Jesus. And the man's sitting there and he says, I can't do that. Well, everybody knows the date and the time. And he's scratching his head. And he says, I really can't pinpoint one date. Then one of the elders, you know, in a kind of a cocky way, really, when you read this, says, then how do you know you're saved? And the man just simply says, because I was there. I was there. It's your story. It's your story. Tell it. Go and tell. Well, hope started to grow again. And anticipation started to grow. So the women hurried away. They hurried from the tomb. Yet they were filled with afraid, yet they were filled with joy. Have you ever been in that state? You know, you see God working, but you're still hanging on to a little bit of fear, right? I think of the centurion who said to Jesus at one point, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? Yeah, you see that glimpse of hope, and they ran to tell his disciples, but look how gracious Jesus is here. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Wow, what a powerful scene that must have been. And that just released them now, right? Here's their master. He's alive. Now they can go forward in confidence and strength, not their own, but in the strength of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell, is that phrase again, my brothers to go to Galilee, there they will see me. Joy and despair, fear, turn to hope and joy now. This same Jesus is alive today. And he wants to give you freedom. Freedom. Freedom from what? Yourself. Freedom from your sin. Paul says in Romans that the penalty for sin is death. The cross. The penalty for sin. God's righteous penalty for sin is death. And so, a lot of times I'll hear people say, well, God's unfair. Well, how's he unfair? Well, if God sends people to hell, that's unfair. And I'll say, no, God doesn't send people to hell. We send ourselves. We send ourselves. God gives us every chance to come to know Christ. Every chance. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We send ourselves to hell. Christ is the only answer. We can have forgiveness of our sin, past, present, future. We can know new life and new purpose. We can know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we can know that our eternity is secure in him. That's what we read in Peter before, right? Our inheritance is secure. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples right before his crucifixion, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. A mansion is the word that's used, a mansion. You know, and you know the good news about that? You're not going to have to clean it. You don't ever have to clean it or update it. I mean, the promises we have in Christ. If you ever want to know the promises and the richness we have in Christ, you can do this during the week. Read Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason why I tell you that is many, I don't know if I said this to you recently, but if I did, forgive me, I'm getting old. There used to be near the turn of the century, a woman they used to call the Wicked Witch of Wall Street. All right. I forget her name. First name was Hetty, but I can't remember the last name. And I'm sorry. No, that she was an actress. This was a woman who was so cheap that her nephew came to live with her. This is all true. You could look her up on the internet or encyclopedia. Her nephew came to live with her, and her nephew had developed a staph infection in the leg and needed a doctor. She was so cheap she wouldn't take him. He ended up losing the leg. She also had a dog. She lived in New York City. And New York City instituted a law that you had to now buy a license for the dog. I think it was like $2 or $3. She was so cheap, she moved to Jersey. Okay, this is a true story. This woman was so well invested that when she died, she was a millionaire. But she lived like a pauper. How many of us who know Christ choose to live like a pauper? Because we forget to open the bank book to see how rich we are. And the reason why we're rich is because the tomb is empty. And the tomb is empty so we don't have to live in a spirit of fear. We don't have to live disappointed. We don't have to live without confidence because our Jesus lives. Now listen, I just made a couple of points here that in closing, I'd like you to kind of meditate on and mull over. What's the significance of Easter? Here's the so what. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus broke the power of sin. Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus is the only one who can give true forgiveness, new life, and hope. Jesus commissions us to go and show and tell. Our world needs Jesus' hope, especially with the health, family, financial, psychological stresses that we all face today. The resurrection of Jesus is the only solution for the pandemic of sin. It's the only solution. He's the only solution. Why do I use such a strong word? We've all been impacted by this word pandemic, right? When, from the moment we were conceived, because Adam wimped out in the garden and disobeyed God, we are born with that rebellious nature. We're born with his sin nature. Nobody escapes that. So it's a pandemic. And it's fatal. You know why it's fatal? Because if you die without Christ, there's an eternity in hell. Jesus says, come to me by faith and repentance. That's all, by faith and repentance. Well, I got to clean my act up. No, you don't. Come to him, let him clean you up from the inside out. Fall in love with the one who loves you. That's what these women did. Fall in love with the one who loves you. A growing believer has an ever-deepening love affair with Jesus Christ. How do we get there? It's very simple. Listen, you remember when you were dating? And I'm going to show my age. Back in the day, we had cars with bench seats in the front, right? And, you know, when you were dating somebody, when, you know, if you saw them, you know, for a period of time, you know, they would sit close to you and all, and then they get married. And little by little, you know, the wife moves away. So after a couple of years, this couple was driving down the road, and... She says to her husband, You remember when we were dating and right after we got married? I mean, we were practically sitting on top of one another in the car. She says, what happened? He said very simply, I haven't moved. And I suspect we do the same thing with Jesus. Jesus hasn't moved. A lot of times we move away. And that's not good. The resurrection is the only solution for the pandemic of sin. Will you let the resurrected Christ into your hearts today? So many times I've had people say to me, I'll wait till I'm dying. Well, you don't know when that is, right? God forbid you leave here, you get hit by a car. God forbid. You know, I don't even know what the next hour is going to bring to you. I hope it brings some good food. But, you know, yeah, that's Jesus' business, right? I'm just to be obedient to him and fall deeper in love with him all the time. That's why Easter. So, if I could put a plug in, I'm going to ask the ladies and Chip to come forward. If I can put a plug in, might suggest to you, I'm so glad the guests are here today. If you have a home church, I would urge you to go to your home church. But listen, just because next Sunday is the first Sunday after Easter doesn't mean we don't celebrate the resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of the living Christ, the one who conquered the grave. Amen? Would you stand, please?